1 John chapter 2. Read verses 1 through 6 with me. My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he's the propitiation for our sins. Not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandment. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. The truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word in him or her is verily, truly is the love of God perfected or maturing. Hereby know we that we're in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. Now you remember he's writing of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom he calls in verse 1 the Word of Life. In verse 2, that eternal life, the life was manifested, that eternal life. Scripture says, he that hath the Son hath life. Meaning, he that knows the Son, he's going to go on to tell us, hereby we know him. He that knows him, and that's not just about him, that means you've met him, he's come to you, he's called you, spoken to you, he's revealed himself to you. To know him is to love him, like Adam knew his wife Eve, is to love him, is to have a union with, a communion with, a relationship with, even knowing him, loving him. And John writes, he says, these things we declare unto you that you may have fellowship with us. And truly, our true fellowship is with the Father and with his Son. Though you and I have fellowship this morning, it's around the gospel. That's the only reason most of us know each other. We wouldn't know each other. We wouldn't care for each other. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Christ and his gospel. So that's what this is all about. And he says, in these things we write unto you that your joy might be full. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Well, the gospel is called good news. Glad tidings of great joy. And, you know, of all the troubles and sorrows and trials and afflictions and sin and the world, this present evil world we live in, we come in here, we need to hear some joy, don't we? We need to have some peace, some comfort. And that's only found in Christ. These are words of life to those who have been quickened. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. There was a time I did not care for this. There was a time, like I see in the faces of some of your children, that I was forced to be here and couldn't wait to leave here. But God, one day, he quickened me by the gospel, what you're hearing right now, the word of life, and gave me life. And now, really and truly, I'm not saying this because I'm the preacher. I'd really, honestly, rather do something else. But, I mean, than preach. I'd rather sit there. But, honestly, there's nothing I'd rather do than hear the gospel and worship with God's people. Can you say that? He that hath the Son, hath a love for the Son, a need for the Son. Whoever you love, you want to be with, don't you? You love that man. You love that woman. You want to be with them, don't you? You talk to them. You commune with them. You walk with them. They're, you're part of it. There's a union. He that hath the Son hath life. It's like marriage. Husband and wife. You think of each other. You talk to each other. If you don't, there's no relationship there. Maybe on paper, you may say you're married. But if you don't really want to be with that person, if you don't commune with that person, there's no union there, is there? So this is who he's talking about. And he says, this is written for your fellowship and your joy. Verse 5, God is light. Verse chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message. God is light, and in him is no darkness. We saw in John 3, where the Lord said, he that, let me, I don't want to misquote it. He said this, he that, everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. People don't know God, don't know Christ. They don't want to be here. They don't want to hear the light of His Word. It exposes them. They don't come to the light unless their deeds should be reproved. This is why religious people don't want to hear the truth. They're fine the way they are in a refuge of lies. But he that doeth truth, that's to believe the gospel, and come to Christ, and repent, and they come to the light. They come to the light. Sinner though we be, we come to the light. Convict me, convince me. Search me, O God. Psalm 139. See if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. No, we don't avoid the light. We come to the light. And I told you about Simon Peter. Remember when the Lord first revealed himself to him in the boat? He said, depart from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. At that time, he didn't know the Lord, didn't need the Lord, didn't want the Lord. The Lord began to reveal himself to him. And he scared him. He knows my thoughts. If he knows every fish in the sea, he knows me. He said, oh, depart from me. But when 3 years later, he's still a sinner. And right after he denied the Lord, and his worst sin of all, I guess you could say, he couldn't get to him fast enough. He dove out of the ship to get to him. Not knowing if the Lord was going to receive him. He had to get to him. He had the Son. And now he knows. Now he knows him. He can't live without him. How about you? Verse 6 of chapter 1, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. We do not the truth. If we walk in the darkness of sin, sin's our life, unbelief, ignorance, false religion, walk with the world, the world's in darkness. We lie. We can fool people. God's not mocked. God's not mocked. He knows who's walking with him. Verse 7, if we walk in the light, he is in the light. We have fellowship one with another. Fellowship, light of his word. And light we saw, we walk circumspectly, or endeavor to, as in the day, not secretly or in darkness, but in the light of his word. And we have fellowship one with another, with God, with his Son, and other lovers of light. I used to be a companion of people that loved darkness. We literally couldn't wait for the night to come. Right? Well, now I can't wait for Sunday morning to come, the Lord's day. I can't wait to sit with lovers of light. Because the Lord brought me out. I'm just telling you my story. Is this your story? He brought me out of darkness into his marvelous light. Called me from death unto life. This is life. I remember thinking, you know, people seem to love this, and I didn't. I think, I see what they see in this. I do now. Maybe somebody's thinking, I want this. I remember there was a time thinking, I want this. You know what? I didn't know it, but light had already begun. Just the desire means light has begun. Because before there was no desire. It was repulsive to the current repulsive, but when there's a new creature begun, light comes on. Desire, I want, like the woman at the well, sir, give me this water. I'm so thirsty. I'm so guilty. I can't get anything from anybody or anything in this world. Sir, would you please give me this water you're talking about? It sure sounds good to me. He said, I am. And she dropped everything. And now she's his disciple forever. I hope he's the desire of everyone in here. Then he goes on to say, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Religious people. And there's so many that you know, I used to be a sinner. Now you know, turned over a new leaf and now going to church, and I used to drink and do this and smoke and chew and cuss. And if we say we have no sin, any sin, every sin, if we say there's any sin that we don't have some kind of problem with, we're a liar. We're a liar. There's the seed of every sin and every believer. The finest woman in here, if God would take his hand off of you, you'd be a harlot tomorrow. Oh, not me. Well, then you don't know the Lord. You don't know yourself. The Holy Spirit's called the Holy Spirit. And the thing he does is convict of sin. That's what our Lord said in John 16:8-11. When he comes, he's going to convince of sin. Does he quit convincing you of sin? Does he convince you you were a sinner, now you're a saint, you no longer sin? No. If anything, the more light you come into, the more darkness you see in your own heart. The more you feel of your sinfulness. Anybody? Verse 9 says in chapter 1, if we confess our sins. What sin? All sin. Not to one another, but to Him. Why confess them to somebody who can't do anything about them? Confess them to Him. He's able to forgive us. We confess our sins. Lord, I'm the chief of sin. Lord, I'm Mary Magdalene. Lord, I'm a thief on the cross. Lord, I'm the prodigal son. Lord, I'm the publican. Lord, I am the sinner. That's what the publican in the temple said. God be merciful to me, the sinner. As if there's nobody else as bad as him. That's what he thought. That's what every believer thinks. You know what? Every believer thinks that about themselves. If not, oh well. And the blood, he's faithful, he's just. Verse 10. I know we've looked at this, but we could look at this from now on. Verse 10. If we say we have not sinned, if we haven't thought it, if we haven't done it, we've thought about it, haven't we? Is anybody struggling right now as I speak with something? Have your thoughts been pure since you've come in here? Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Ever since you got here, all you can think about is worshiping God. No, you're fighting the things of this world. You're fighting evil thoughts. You have bitterness towards somebody. You have some kind of anger in you, some kind of resentment, or some kind of, you've been offended. Huh? I'm guilty. We make God a liar. He says, it's not a just man on earth that doeth good, sinneth not. But it says we're just. It says we're, yes. But there's an old man still there, and he's not just. He's wicked. And God's word's not in. It's called his light, and light exposes the darkness in us. Okay, my little children, he says in verse 1 of chapter 2, these things write I unto you that you sin not. What kind of father would not tell his child to, don't do this, don't do that, stop this, stop that, do this, do that, huh? You don't do that. From the time they're old enough to understand, you begin to tell them, do right, don't you? It'll be well for you. In fact, the scripture says, honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with promise. Gives a promise there. It'll be well with you, long life. It's a good thing, it's right, it's just, don't sin. Don't sin. Do I have to explain that? No, don't do it. It's whatever it is. Don't do it. Don't think it. Well, how? Well, without him, it's impossible. With man, it's impossible. You can't resist one temptation without him. Adam and Eve. One temptation. Seemed like a small thing then. God said, don't eat this fruit. That's it.
He had everything,
but not that. Satan said, you want that one? One temptation. A perfect woman. That looks good. You think you're better than Eve?
Adam?
Mm-mm. Not even close. Not even close. Without him, it's impossible. But, what does it say, John? With Christ, I can do all things. With Christ, I can do all things. That is, how do we resist? Peter said, dearly beloved, abstain from fleshly lust that war against us. So how? Not in the strength of your flesh. You can't do it. You can resolve all you want to. You say, I'm going to quit this. I'm going to do it. I'm not going to thank you. That's what Simon Peter said then. They may leave you, not me. Okay. You're going to be the first. But with him, by him, through him, call. This is why he says, pray without ceasing. Call, ask, seek, knock, hear. Heed. You remember Psalm 143? Make me hear your voice in the morning before I hear anybody else. Because I heed these voices. I hear these voices. I'm tempted by these voices. These things I see. Let me see your face before I see anybody's face. Because these things still have an appeal to my flesh. Lord, make me, cause me, lead me, guide me, direct me. Please help me. I can't do it. I can't take one step without you. Please. Make me to know your will. Make me to walk in your will. Cause me to hear your voice. Don't leave me alone for one moment. That's it. That's the only way. Read Philpott's article in the bullet. Did you read that? Look into Christ and Him crucified. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. If any man sin, and we will, we do. Oh, we bring great shame upon ourselves, and we feel full of guilt, and we bring hurt upon other people. And this is why he says, don't do it. Think before you say something. You know, words are the worst thing of all. The worst thing of all. Pray for me. I'd stand up here and open my mouth for a couple of hours. And a multitude of words that wanteth not sin. Something's going to come out. And somebody's going to misconstrue it. And somebody's going to be offended. And somebody's going to be hurt. And somebody's going to leave. Pray for me. I get mad just like anybody else. You get mad at me. I get mad at you. We're just a bunch of sinners. Don't do it. If any man sin, we have an advocate. You want to hear that message again? One of our ladies, she requested it the next day, you know, wants to put it on sermon audio as a feature message and wants other people to hear it. Well, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Verse 2, now here's the beginning. It's the beginning of today's study. We're in no hurry, are we? Says he's the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also the sins of the whole world. Now, you and I know. Look at the verse 15. In case someone thinks that means Christ died for the whole world, like John 3:16. Look at verse 15 in the same chapter. First John 2, verse 15. Love not the world. Love not the world. Neither the things of the world. That means not only the things of the world, but the world, the course of the world, the people of the world. We're to love our enemies. Yeah. But David said, do not I hate them that hate thee? Yeah, I hate them with a perfect hatred. I consider them mine enemies. That's what he said then. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man, verse 15, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. How do you compare that to John 3:16? Well, God so loved the world. any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. God doesn't love everybody in this world. Hell is full of people. Love never fails. Whoever God loves, He saves. He doesn't throw people in hell that He loves. Would you? No, you wouldn't. Are you better than God? No. God loves His people. God loves those in Christ. Romans 8:29. The love of God's in Christ. 39. Alright, what does this mean? He's a propitiation for the whole, for our sin, but not only ours, but the whole world. Who's he writing to? John is an apostle to the Jews. Every single apostle was apostle and preached to the Jews. They stayed in Jerusalem. None of them left Jerusalem. You know that? When the persecution of the church began in Jerusalem, none of them left. Who was the apostle to the Gentile? Paul. Paul, he went everywhere, preached, said, I'm not just an apostle to the Jew, but to the Gentile. He went all over the world. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. God has a people out of every kindred, tongue, nation, and people in the world. Out of the world. All people in the world are not His people. He has a people out of every. This is how good God is, how merciful God is, how gracious God is, how loving God is. He has a people that no man can number, but He has them numbered. He has them numbered. They're His elect. They're His chosen. He chose them. If He didn't choose somebody, nobody would choose Him. And He chose a people as the stars of the sky, as the sands of the seashore, to love Him, to believe Him, to trust Him, to come to Him. If He hadn't, they wouldn't. And Christ came to die for His people. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. And He turned to some Pharisees and said, you're not my sheep, you're goats. He didn't die for them. But He did die for a people out of every tribe, kindred, nation, and tongue under heaven. Out of the world. God so loved the world. His orderly creation. His humanity. Mankind as a species. I love dogs, but I don't love all dogs. I don't love all dogs. That meant many a dog I'd like to shoot. They deserve it. They're not lovely. Huh? Not lovely. God has to change the nature of a wild dog to make them lovely. But that's not what made Him love them. He loved them even while they were yet sinners. But He knew what they would be. What He would make out of them, just like Christ. God can't love people that hate Christ. Do you? It's impossible. And He loves those that He chose and will someday make to love Him, love His Son. Propitiation, what does that mean? Go to, a few more minutes. Got 5 minutes to deal with propitiation. That's a big word, isn't it? Genesis 6. I'm going to show you two verses, two passages. Genesis chapter 6. Right in the middle of that word, according to God's providence in creating the English language. Vicki, I always marvel at God's creation of the English language. How words just, it's amazing. Propitiation. Somebody in Anglo-Saxon whatever said, let's make up a word about this and we'll call it propitiation. I mean, really, somebody somewhere got it from the Latin. Right in the middle is pitch. Well, that's exactly what it means. The word means covering. This is the story of Noah's Ark, okay? Who did God love? Did God love the world? He said, I want to destroy man. The whole world, He said, earth has corrupted my way. He said, it repenteth me. I wish I had never made to speak like a man. You know, God speaks in a language we can understand, like baby talk. When you talk to little babies, you can't, you know, you got to talk on their level. And God speaks baby talk to us. He said, it repenteth me that I've made man. We can understand that, can't we? I wish I had never made him. Well, God doesn't, you know, wish you God doesn't repent. He's not a man. But he's telling us in a way we can understand that man is so bad, so evil, God says, I wish I'd never made him. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Salvation is by sovereign electing, choosing grace. All right, look at it. Genesis 6. Genesis chapter 6. Verse 5, God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Is man better now? If anything, he's worse. I mean, he's no worse really, but there's more of him. And our Lord said, as in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. The whole world is full, corrupted his way and full of what? Violence. That's what describe the generation right before God said, that's it. I'm going to destroy them all. Violence. Never been a more violent world. Bloody men. Sports and people love it. Corrupted his way. The truth. Verse 6, he repented him. Verse 7, I will destroy man whom I've created. You don't destroy who you love, do you? No, sir. But Noah, verse 8, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. All right, go down to verse, here's propitiation, all right? The Lord spoke to Noah and revealed himself to Noah and revealed the way of salvation to Noah. It was called an ark, a vessel of mercy. A vessel of mercy that would take all the wrath of God upon it. And only those who are saved are going to be in it. Verse 14. Make an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make it. Plenty of room. Because we're going to have animals out of every tribe, kindred, nation, tongue. How are they going to get there? Well, we're going to go outside and we're going to say, anybody willing to come in the ark? Hey, elephant, of your own free will. Come on, you want in here, don't you? Lion? You want in here, don't you? It's the last thing a lion wants to be, is it cooped up in a boat. But God said, come. May come. Didn't they? They wouldn't be there. Alright? They're all in that ark now. They came to Noah, who was a picture of Christ. And then God said to Noah, pitch it within and without. With pitch. That's propitiation. Do I need to tell you what that means? What that stands for? Cover this boat. It's going to look ugly to the world. It's going to look ugly to the world. This black tar, this blood of an evergreen tree. It's the tar, it's the sap out of an evergreen tree. A tree planted by the rivers of living water. It's going to be wounded and bruised and cut. And the sap, that's the balm of Gilead. You know, that's myrrh. Take that sap out of that tree, Noah, and cover this ship. My wrath's coming down. My rain's coming down. If this, the only thing's going to keep those within from being under the wrath of God, the rain, the judgment of God hitting it, is this pitch. Cover it good, not only on the outside, but on the inside. Let them see it. They're going to see. Everybody in that ark is going to know there's one reason that we're going to be kept. That pitch, this ark. Ask them all. Ask the animal. Ask the dumbest animal. Ask a dumb old ox. Ask him. He'll tell you. What's your salvation? This ship. That pitch. If he could talk. Ask any true believer on the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll tell you, what is your salvation? Christ. It's the blood. Not me, not anything I've done, not my faith in it. It's the blood that makes atonement for the soul. And God said in Exodus 12, take that blood, put it on a doorpost, a lintel. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And over in Romans, propitiation is used twice in Romans and here in 1 John. But the same word is atonement. It's the exact same word. Atonement. Covering. Pitch. Brethren, we're a bunch of sinners. Okay? Our only hope is to be found in Christ. In that great day, when Christ comes back,
He's going to take home with Him those that are saved by His precious blood, and they know it. And He's the propitiation for our sins. He's the covering. He's the atonement, not for Jews. You know, the Jews knew something about the atonement. They tried to keep it. Remember, the Lord told the Jews. Who did the high priest go in and offer up the blood atonement in the holy place? Who did he do that for? Jews, not Gentiles. Isn't it? Jews. All right, the Jews knew something about that. They weren't looking to Christ in that. It became a form. It became a ceremony. It became just a duty, and they went through the motions and all that. Just like Christians, so many Christians sit here today, not here, well, I hope not here, but in other places, they hear things about the blood, they hear about Jesus dying, they hear about this, that, and the other. And it's just a form. It's just a ceremony. Just going through the motions. And they're going to go on their way and not think a thing about it. And God said, it's a stench in my nostrils. My son, what it took to put away the sins of my people, is for me to make my son a bloody sacrifice. And amen. And so he tells the preacher, you preach the blood, you preach Christ, you preach my son, high lifted up. When I see the blood, when I see those who really and truly know and love and believe in the son, and call unto me for mercy, for grace, for help, for salvation through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll pass over him. I'll have mercy on him. Is that you? Oh, don't go through the motions. Don't go through the motion. Do you need pitch? Ask Noah. Ask Noah. Boy, he's sitting in that boat. You think he has perfect faith? You think Noah had perfect faith, do you? Do you really? Come on, man. He's a man just like us. He's sitting in that boat and that thing. And he's hearing people scream, holler at him. And boy, that boat's right there shaking. He's getting sick. He's never been on a ship before. He's sick. And a thunder and lightning. Thunder and lightning. A big thunderstorm still scare you a little bit? Come on. Come on, Ricky. You're a strong man. You liar. Listen, one time, my dad, you remember this man? We were living in that mobile home right here by the church house. You remember? One of the most horrific thunderstorms ever. Dad and Mom were staying with us. Okay? And it woke me up. Well, I woke up, and there my dad was, woke up. He was standing at the window, you know, looking out. You know what I thought? Sure glad my dad's here. I really did. I'll let him worry about it. I'll go back to bed. That thunder and that lightning was rolling. That boat was shaking. His children are in there. His children are in there. Had only 8 people in that church. And it's rocking and it's rolling and they're scared. They're all scared. Now, what you hope? I sure hope that pitch holds up. You know, not one drop of water landed on one single person. God is faithful. He's just. Noah, come down in the ark with me as your safeguard. Believe me, trust me. You'll be scared, but I'm faithful. I'll keep you. I want to be found in Christ, don't you? I'm a sinner, and I need the blood. I need propitiation. I need a covering. I need an atonement. Well, we have one in Christ. Okay.
Bless you.
I did a little better, didn't it? The first message didn't get past the word that.